Welcome to the Passion Beyond Art podcast. It's all about learning the story behind the passion of awesome individuals. It's your host, Daryl Pinnock. Today, I have an awesome guest, awesome musician, and songwriter, Patrick Breen. Enjoy.
All right, so let's kick it off. How did it get started for Patrick? How did this musical journey, what age, when did the light go off for Patrick?
It's tough, man. You know, I really remember really early on in my life. I always tell people my earliest memory of music is jumping around on my parents' couch when I couldn't have been older than 3 years old, jumping around on the couch with this little plastic guitar that I had, this toy, just pretending I was playing guitar along with the Beatles. And that was kind of my... I look back on those times and I just, it makes sense that I do what I do now, you know? But you know, the pursuit of that passion was way more gradual.
Right.
I think like most people, I spent a lot of my adolescence just desperate to fit in and trying to do what my friends were doing or trying to do what I saw the cool kids doing. Right. And that wasn't really music, man. You know, I took piano lessons from 7 to 14, and my mom would have to pick me up early from school, and I used to just, like, hope that nobody would see me walking down the hall, leaving early, spark a conversation. Hey, man, where you going? I didn't want anybody to know, because that wasn't cool, you know? But I think as you develop a little bit and you kind of – you give in a little bit, right? You can't, I don't think you can, I think you can only run from a calling for so long until you're just completely, utterly dissatisfied and unhappy with your life. So really, to be honest with you, I started really when I got a guitar, that was like the next level. There was a rule in my family, you have to play piano for 7 years. And like I said, it wasn't cool. So when I was 14, I was out of there, man. I was just like, I'm going to go play sports. I'm going to go do something that's, you know, fits in with society's definition of what it's supposed to be. And I'm going to go for it. And my mom bought me a guitar in high school one Christmas or something. And it just kind of sat there for a while. But I remember towards, you know, the last couple of years of high school, I was starting to play around with some friends of mine. And really, like my senior year and that summer before my freshman year of college, I was like all in. I remember going to college like, I need to find some guys to jam with. Sure enough, first night I go to, you know, I go to like a meet and greet with, you know, my major at college.
Gotcha.
I find two guys who are like, yo, let's play some music. And the rest is history. I was in a band for 4 years and, you know, one thing led to another, bands break up. And, you know, the band breaking up was really my crossroad.
Gotcha.
You know,
that
was me pushing forward and saying, I'm going to do this, even though this doesn't look like I thought it was going to look. And this is going to make me a little uncomfortable to put myself out there. But that was day one for me, man. So it was a long road, right?
Yeah.
And it was very gradual. I mean, you hear a lot of kids that just know, boom, this is what I'm doing, and they're like classically trained. They go to Berkeley.
There are options,
right?
Right.
And there's a lot of good in that. But I think the fact that I tried a lot in my adolescence and even in my early adult years, really just makes me like, you know, when the storms come in, so to speak. I just know I gotta, you know, batten down the hatch and I'm, you know.
You know what you gotta do because you've been through it.
Yeah, man. There's no off ramps anymore. Like, this is what I'm here to do. So.
Sounds awesome. But that's a crazy rule that you said that everybody has to play piano for at least 7 years. That's insane.
It's so funny. My great grandfather was his livelihood was piano. He studied piano at the university level. I never met him, but he was, you know, technically very excellent, taught piano and tuned pianos for a living. Like, you think of the way that our society works now, And you automatically picture somebody like that as, okay, they probably didn't make a lot of money, but I mean, he had to work. My grandfather tells me about him. It was my mother's father's father, right? So gotcha. My grandfather tells me about this man, and just his work ethic, man. I have so much respect for this guy and like the path that he kind of paved for in an indirect way for me, right. Because I don't know where I would be without that foundation and this rule that he set. Everybody has to play for at least 7 years.
I wish somebody in my family had that kind of rule. That's an insane rule. I may take it on for my kids, man. That is insane.
Yeah.
I've never heard anything like that. That's insane.
It's crazy, man.
That's insane. So when people hear Patrick playing, like, what is that? What do you want them to feel? What's the experience like? What experience are you trying to create each time you play, each time you perform, each time you pick up that guitar?
You know, it's cool, man. It's been, like I said, a long journey, and I've kind of found myself learning the process a lot as I go. Like, you know, most people, I didn't start out an expert. I'm not currently an expert. I am kind of the sum of the hours that I've put in, right? And I'm learning.
Don't sell yourself short, though, man. Don't sell yourself short, man. You're pretty darn good.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. But you know, I think it's kind of it's very multifaceted, everything. But I mean, the person that I am when I'm thinking about a song, is, you know, stripped down, is just a storyteller.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? And a lot of people look me up right now and they'll see kind of the music that I've put out so far. And you know, I'm very proud of that early kind of collection of songs that I was able to write and put out and collaborate with some great musicians and a great producer. And now I'm just at kind of the next evolution of myself, right?
Gotcha.
I'm at the next evolution of a storyteller, a musician, a songwriter, a producer, an instrumentalist, a thinker, you know, and I think right now, as a songwriter, I get asked a lot what my songs are about, and I tread very lightly because I don't want anything to happen with the listener where anything that I say takes away from their experience. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense.
I may write a song. This is just an example. This hasn't happened yet. I may write a song about in adoration over my childhood pet, for example. Right. And it may use some romantic language and people may think of a romantic relationship.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
And I definitely strive as a songwriter to use language and rhetoric, I guess, that is kind of universal enough. Like, stripped down, I think it's like, what am I really feeling? What am I really experiencing? And you know, it's smart songwriting. And I don't say that in kind of to boast on myself. I'm the current record that I'm working on, I'm collaborating and co-producing with a couple of my bandmates. And I've worked with a couple of different writers, but one in particular. And we just sit and we think, man, we think about these stories. And my goal with songwriting is to put you in your own life. You know, like,
gotcha.
I wrote a song a while back about a relationship that ended poorly. And I wrote a song about kind of it was really a snapshot of a day in the life at that moment in time for me in getting over someone.
Gotcha.
And I've talked to a lot of people and it means a lot of different things for them. And that's all that matters to me. You know what I mean?
No, I get you 100%. Got you 100%.
As a performer, I like straight up, man, we're in a really strange time with music and just kind of like, you know, people's experience with music right now is different than it was, you know, a decade ago or even 5 years ago. And man, frankly, I want people to come out and have a good time. If you like to party, come out and party. If you like to just vibe out and listen to some music and appreciate good musicianship, I want to offer that for you. You know what I mean? Like, right. That's real. And ultimately, I think a point that I missed really early on was that performance in stage and in live, whether it's theater or music or whatever, the performer cannot exist without the audience. And to do everything that you can to bring them in and to focus on the one person who's not on their cell phone, right? And to focus on the people who are paying attention and just really like give what you got to them, rather than it being just kind of like an ego thing. Or look at me on stage. You know what I mean?
Gotcha.
I never want to be that performer. I never want to be that musician. It's all about the fans and what I can offer to you, because that's why I got started with music in the first place, because it made such a difference in my life. Early on, when I had friends, I wasn't terribly lonely, but right. I was a little bit of a loner. I always kind of felt like an outcast.
Gotcha.
And to kind of go home and turn my music on and to hear, you know, the great songwriters that I love to listen to just kind of make me feel like I wasn't the only person on planet Earth who felt like this.
Gotcha.
Man, that's the gift, man. That's gotcha. The gift. So. Gotcha. Awesome. You know, that's what I try to think about.
Awesome. And I've heard like this, that expression from some musicians that I admire, like they're not necessarily trying to interpret what each listener gets. Like they're just hoping that the listener gets something from it. You know what I mean? They're not trying to too much say, oh, you have to interpret it as happy music or you have to interpret it as sad music. It's like, you just got to get something from it. And so this is not the first time I'm hearing that term, which it makes sense. You know what I mean? It makes sense. So,
yeah.
Dude, like, I know it's not always been easy, right? So what's your pillar? Like, who is your pillar? Not so much what, but who would you say is your support system, say, when Patrick is down and out or, you know what I mean, just need some pick me up? Like, who is your support system?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, first and foremost, I mean, you know, I lean on God for everything, man. And that's number one.
Gotcha.
But, you know, it's tough. Obviously my parents and my girlfriend, they're, you know, always there for me. And you know, they're so, it's so kind of like I get something different from each of them.
Gotcha.
And my cousin Doug, who's, you know, he's my best dude, you know what I mean? He's always there for me, and he believes in me and encourages me and just pours into me and challenges me. He's another one. And like my team is great, man.
Gotcha.
Like I'm really, it wasn't always like this. You know, my parents have always loved me, always supported my dream, but early on, you know, they were nervous for me, man. You know what I mean?
When I didn't
have a couple of cool contacts in my phone book, when I didn't have, you know, a couple of thousand people interested in me on the internet. You know what I mean? Like not to talk like I'm some guy, believe me, I'm very humble and very much on the upcoming. But you know, I'm making tracks. You know
right.
what I mean? I'm accomplishing a couple of things, and I'm getting closer every year to where I want to be. And you know, it's kind of in a spot right now, but all I can say is, like, you know, even my girlfriend, when we first started dating, man, she was just like, oh man, like, she didn't straight up say, like, I'm not sure about this, but you could tell by some of the other questions she asked, well, when's this gonna happen? And you know, Now that she sees more of the process and
right.
and knows like the guys that I work with and the potential,
right.
You know, I think everybody is there kind of, you know, You know, it's a small circle, man. You can't let too many people in, because the bottom line is, like, unfortunately, and you learn this lesson the hard way, a lot of people who say they care about you don't. A lot of people who ask how they can contribute and how, hey, what's going on, really don't care.
Right.
It's a harsh reality, but it just teaches you, it teaches you about quality over quantity. You know, I would rather have a few good men and women in my life than, you know, like in college, I just had, you know,
everybody 20
people I could call at any given time to get a slice of pizza and have a great conversation. And, you know, you lose that as you get out of school and you kind of find your way in the real world. And yeah, man, I mean, you know, those people, you know, my best friend Lindsay is great too, but yeah, I'm very blessed and very lucky.
Oh, that's awesome, man. I like that you said God, you put God first. But you see, yeah, a lot of times with our loved ones, it's like they want the best for us and they don't want to see us fail. That when we go too far out, they're like, oh, I'm not too sure about that, but that's what you really need to do. You kind of got to take some kind of risk and kind of put yourself out there, but it's just that safe factor. They don't want to see you fail a lot of times.
Keeps them
worried.
They misguide you in hurtful ways. And, you know, my folks didn't do that. I mean, definitely extended family have scratched their head at me and said, well, you know, and look, everybody's, you know, you got to realize, you know, young bucks out there, you got to realize that it takes a little while. It takes a little while of kind of eating crap. You know what I mean? Just like taking it on the chin and just like, ultimately, man, the art, the music, the craft, whatever it is, has got to be bigger than you.
Right.
Because if it's ego driven, that can only sustain you for so long, you know?
I like that, man. It's true. And it's a good thing that you said that, because people need to hear that. Like, you got to put in some work. You got to put in some time, because it's not, you know, we've kind of been fed this overnight kind of deal, like this microwave, and it's a lie.
Such a lie, man. Yeah, it's such a lie.
It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. So when you, what would you consider like the biggest struggles, the top couple struggles? A story would be great, but like your biggest struggles with building, you know, what you're trying to build as a musician, or just trying to build, you know, your brand. What would you say?
Yeah, I mean, the whole branding and finding your sound and all of that, it's literally just nonstop trial and error. It really is. I mean, you know, a lot of people like, you know, some of the videos that I do online right now, and it's kind of just a way for me to share some ideas and stay engaged with my audience while I'm finishing up the real prize, the real gift.
Right.
The songs,
right?
But you know, I'm writing every day and doing all that. But that, I mean, when it comes to like struggles with building your brand and all that, I mean, I would just say, like, just stay at it, write all the time. You know, we live in a visual world now, so you've got to be a photographer, you've got to be a videographer, you've got to be a video editor, you've got to be, you know, you've got to know your chops as a music producer. You just like, and it's, we like, people look at the amount of work that it takes to master all these skills. And man, I just look at, like, I would love to bring somebody from 50 years ago into the modern world and sit them down in front of the internet for a day. Like, can you imagine Plato and Socrates and Aristotle with the wealth of knowledge that we have on the internet? I don't mean to sound too out there, but like, yo, we are human beings, which is so rare to be a human being, just scientifically. In the odds, like, you are a champion just biologically. I'm not gonna go into the details, but like, that's gotta be your mindset. Like, you can accomplish so much. You are living in the greatest time. I know everybody's like, politics this, politics that, world events this, you know, gender issues that, race issues this. And those are all very prominent issues, but that doesn't change the fact that we are living in the dopest time in human history. No question. The possibilities, man. Anyway, not to digress, but stay rooted in that truth, and you can overcome any of these struggles. But yeah, it's just, man, it's tough. My father sent me an encouraging email the beginning of last week, and just basically saying, man, you know, I applaud you man to man for pursuing something in a world that bases an individual's worth by the size of their paycheck. And my father is an amazing man. And he just got this wealth of knowledge, right? And every once in a while, he hits me with something like that. And it's just like, gets me dead to rights. And that couldn't be more true. You know, we live in a world that where everybody wants to make money. And right. You can make money a lot of really cool ways on the internet and using music. And you may not go out and sell a million records and get to buy a house in Beverly Hills off of the residuals from those album sales. It just may not happen. That's not the world we live in anymore. You may not get to make all your money by going on glamorous world tours, but there's a lot that you can do today as a musician. And it's just, man, it all comes back to mindset. It all comes back to, am I going to let these challenges cripple me, or am I going to rise to the occasion, you know, access my strength, access my courage, not go seeking outward for those things, realizing that those things are inside of me, in stepping out in my day with that mindset. And man, I do some crazy stuff to hype myself up. Crazy stuff.
Give me an example.
There's a pastor I follow, Stephen Furtick, for one. He'll put out some stuff on iTunes, just little mantras.
Yeah, I know.
That he'll just talk to you. You know what I'm talking about. And it just hypes you up. And before I go into a vocal session, I'll have nobody else exists in the world for that minute except for me and Furtick, and we're just vibing out, and I'm getting pumped up, and I'm jumping up and down, and I'm just like,
hey, he's intense too. Like,
yeah, you gotta psych yourself up though, man. You can't
True.
Everybody's like, oh, encourage me, somebody help. And we play the victim, man. We think we're the only person ever in human history to experience problems.
Facts. Or,
I mean, yo, read the diary of Anne Frank and then think about your problems.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You don't have it that bad after all.
You know, I mean, most of us, even with our long list of problems, because I don't want to.
Especially in America, especially in this country. Like,
yeah, man. I mean, look, we're never going to be living in a time where everything is just peace and love and happiness and everybody agrees and there's no BS. But sometimes we just need perspective. And don't get me wrong, I have my days where somebody says something to me online, or, you know, one of my closest friends will unfollow me, and I'm just like, really? Like, come on, man. So, I mean, back to struggles, because I'll get off topic talking about life and all that stuff. I think the biggest struggles are monetary. For just being real, like, it took me a long time to start making some money.
Gotcha.
And, you know, you can go out and just do a bunch of legwork and play out in bars every night and, you know, come home with a couple $100, and, you know, that's not a bad way. You get to build your chops, and I did that for a while.
Right.
But it's kind of like looking at guys like, you know, all of these entrepreneurs right now who are like kind of revolutionizing the residual income market. Like, how can you take your unique skill set and do something that is of service to others and also kind of generate some income for yourself? So there's just the money thing is tough. As creatives, we got big hearts, and there's kind of two sides of the coin, right? Your greatest strength is your ability to tie in to human emotion and to really articulate that in unique ways. But the other side of the coin is, man, do you feel everything, man? You feel it. I mean, I'll see somebody on the street that breaks my heart, and I'll go home and like cry about it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And you know, I'm, I, you hate that pain, and sometimes you wish you could just be cold or
just forget about it, not feel it.
You wish like the lack of the support from your friends didn't hurt you the way that it does.
Right.
But it all comes back to perspective. You know, you focus less on what you don't have and more on what you do have. And it's tough. Like, it is a daily discipline. It is a lifelong practice. And it's like, you know, you gotta treat your bad attitude the same way that a recovering alcoholic treats a drink. I think.
Right. Makes sense. I mean, to be insensitive
or kind of minimize somebody who's suffering with substance abuse, because that's a real issue. But like, you got to have that serious of an attitude against your negativity.
Right. It's got to be a daily practice, really.
Yeah. And I would say, I would say, emotions for sure, the money for sure. And I think, expectations would be the last struggle. My biggest disappointments in life have been because of failed expectations. And like that band that I was in college, I went all in on that, bro. I went all in.
Gotcha.
All in. I had no career plan, no nothing after school. We went all in. We had a decent sized band, and there were some guys who would come in and play different instruments, but there were really four key members, gotcha. Four guys that were like, yo, and I founded the band with two other guys. And then we brought in a bunch of guys. When we brought in our saxophone player, he was kind of like the fourth kind of head member of the band. And the other two founding members, the bass player and the drummer, got to go off. And we recorded a bunch of songs. We wrote so much music. And for where we were in our lives, they were pretty fun songs. We had a lot of fun. We were kind of like a jam band, you know. It was a great live performance, right? And they got to go off and they got picked up by another band and got to go off on a national tour. And I kind of asked them, okay, well, when you're done with tour, like we'll finish our project. Like, it was supposed to be just for a summer. And they were kind of like, yeah, we're going to see this out. You're not, I felt like the girl who doesn't get the hint when, oh, it's not you, it's me. You know what I mean? I had no idea, because I didn't sing back then. I played guitar and wrote songs. It's hard to go off and do music when that's your skill set.
Right.
You know what I mean? I wasn't good enough at guitar to go off and be a session player. You know what I mean? Like, gotcha. I couldn't just move to Nashville and get gigs. Like, right. I was 21. You know what I mean? I had a lot of growing to do. And man, that was devastating. That was probably the biggest letdown in my music career, just because it blindsided me.
Right.
Like, and these were my best friends in the world. Like I said, I didn't, you know, I had friends in high school, but I went to public school all through, you know, middle school with same kids that I grew up with. And then my parents, you know, made me go to private school because I was kind of slacking off in public school, and they knew if I was going to go to college, I had to go to private school. And in private school, I kind of spent 4 years trying to fit in and make friends and all that. When I got to college, these guys were the friends that I was longing for. You know what I mean? The friends that I wanted to have that stereotypical high school experience, that brotherhood with. And, you know, when our band ended, man, like, that was devastating.
Man.
I'm not being as candid as I could be, but I took it really hard. But like the phoenix, man, sometimes something has to die for something new to be reborn. And that was really the beginning of kind of my metamorphosis into, you know, the dude who you see today that is, you know, still fighting for it, still growing and adapting and trying new things. But, you know, sometimes your expectations have to die for something better to be waiting for you on the other side. And you have to get a little bit down the road to have kind of the foresight. But now, because of the experiences that I've had, and that's just one of many, you know, that's one
right,
of many.
Right.
You know, I could talk to you for 2 hours about every misfire, every thing that I thought was, every time I thought the road was going right and it was going left and I had to backtrack and then go down the other road, you know? But just be, you gotta be a fighter, man. You can't let that resistance get into your spirit.
Right.
You know what I mean? Just have the faith that if something didn't go the way you thought it was supposed to, chances are something's better is waiting for you.
Man, I love it, man. Like that's some good insight right there, man. Cause you know, a lot of people, like somebody see you, you know, you got all this following and it's like, everything is all gravy for Patrick. Like he, you know, yeah. He kind of just jumped out the womb, just doing it like this. And it's good for people to hear stuff like that. Like, they might be in the middle of struggling right now and I'd be like, you know what?
Yeah, man.
This is real helpful. So absolutely. We're getting ready to finish. Before we finish, are you able to play? Are you set up to play or no?
Kind of. Not really. Not really. I would love to do that, but I want to do it right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, gotcha. So, nah, it's all good. Yeah. I didn't give you a heads up.
I really appreciate the opportunity, but you know, definitely I will be playing these new songs for everybody. Cause that's the thing. I would want to play the new stuff. I don't want to play the old stuff, right, but I can't play the stuff yet till it comes, you know what I mean?
Nah, it's all good, man.
You get it, bro.
So
but
what advice? You've given a ton of advice, but one advice that you would like to give, you know, up and coming musicians, current musicians, you know, what advice would you like to give a musician?
That's tough. I mean, there's so much, man. There's so much.
Top two.
Work hard. Just every day. Do it every day. If you want to be a songwriter, write songs every day. If you want to be a singer, sing every day. If you want to be a good musician, play your instrument every day. Work hard, man. Work so hard that you, I'm not saying all the time, because we all need to blow off some steam, but if you're not turning down your friends when they call you to hang out because you got to stay in and rehearse, or this is the only time in your week where you've got to do your thing because your job has been out of control and you just got to sit down with your instrument. If you're not doing that every once in a while, you're not doing it right. So work hard. Trust your calling. You got to have faith when nobody else has faith in you. You know?
Gotcha, man.
And lastly, put others before yourself. And that's a good rule for life, but especially in music. Especially that you've got to approach every song, because that'll give you, right now I'm writing a lot of songs that I didn't think I could tell. I didn't think I could admit some of this dirt, some of this uncleanliness, I didn't think I could talk about some of this stuff. But what changed my mind was, okay, my dysfunction, my hurt, my pain, all of that might serve somebody else. All of that might save somebody else who's going through this. And, you know, not to sound holier than thou or anything, it took a long time to have the courage to think that way. And it took a lot of people pouring into my life in a positive way to have, and it took me seeing some tough stuff in life, man. Some like just really tough scenarios that have played out just across the board. But yeah, you've got to be putting others before yourself. Like, how can you manufacture generosity on a daily basis? How can you find, if you're like me and you've got, you know, some semblance of a social media following, who can you be reaching out to? Do you check your inbox? Right. You know what I mean? Do you check your requested messages to see if there's anybody in there who needs help?
Right.
You know what I mean? It's not automatic. But what you find is that through encouraging others, you find the very encouragement that you yourself seek. So, dude, you know, that's it.
Facts, man. Love it, man. Love it. It was a pleasure having you on the podcast, man.
Thank you so much, man. Thank
man,
you so much.
I hope, you know, we keep this going, you know.
Yes.
Constant, keeping in touch. But man, love what you're doing. Keep it up, man. Like for real. Like no facade, nothing. Like I really admire what you're doing, man. Just keep it up, man.
I appreciate it. I appreciate you.
Hey man. Enjoy the rest of your day. Blessings.
Yeah, you too. Yes, man. You too.
All right, deuces.
All right, I'll talk to you. Peace.